Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sky's the Limit Radio, your inspiration station with coaches Wendy, Krista, and Shermin. Our goal is to search out and share with you the latest news about how to become and stay empowered to make the most transformative lifestyle or business building choices. For 30 minutes each Monday at 12 noon U.S. Eastern Time, you will have the opportunity to hear inspiring interviews with coaches specializing in a variety of life-transforming areas. It is our intent to provide you a once-a-week break of inspiration to carry you throughout your week. Your co-hosts are Wendy, who is a business transformation coach, Krista, who is a healthy lifestyle coach, and Shermin, who is a success coach. It is important to know that all of the concepts and information presented during any of our shows are for educational purposes only. They are not intended to guarantee results of any kind. Please consult with professionals before embarking on any lifestyle or business-related changes. Again, welcome to Sky's the Limit Radio, your inspiration station. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another week's episode of Sky's the Limit Radio. This is Krista, one of your co-hosts, and I'm here today with our other co-host, Wendy. Hello, Wendy.
Hello, Krista. This is Wendy, and a warm welcome to our listeners out there.
We are delighted to have Heather Reeder back as a guest on our show today. Heather is a professional co-active coach who received her training from the Coaches Training Institute, the world's leading coach training organization. Through her training, Heather has learned that the best teachers are those who show you where to look but don't tell you what to see. As a coach, Heather specializes in midlife wellness, especially for women. Many women suffer from fear, shame, and lost dreams as they get older. And Heather's main message to women over 50 is to age with confidence.
We had Heather on our show twice before. The first time we talked about her book, Sexy Grandma A to Z, which, by the way, is available from Amazon. The last time she was here back in August of last year, we talked about confidence and why confidence is so important, especially in midlife when so many people, but especially women, are going through a confidence crisis. If you missed either of those two shows, you can still listen to them by going to blogtalkready.com/sky's the limit, where all of our past shows are archived. Today we'll be talking to Heather about fear and how we can take the fear out of fear. The title of our show today is Let's Talk About the F Word, Shall We? Love that title. So welcome back to Sky's the Limit Radio, Heather. We're so delighted to have you back on our show again today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I love coming and talking to you ladies.
Great.
Wonderful, awesome. Heather. We are so happy to have you back on our show. You always share such good information with us and our listeners. So let's jump right in with the questions, shall we?
Sure.
What was the first step in releasing the hold that fear had on you? Can you talk about this a little bit?
I can. I'd love to start with a little tiny story about where that fear came from to begin with. Growing up, I was raised in a house of fear. That's what I kind of call it now. So we were six kids in this little tiny two-bedroom house, and my parents' fear kept us restricted, only to go to school, and there was a neighborhood park just a couple of doors down. And I was driven to and from school, and the school was only three blocks away. The drapes were always closed, and once we were in for the night, Dad would slide a butter knife into the door jamb. It was kind of his version of a deadlock system, I think. Two or three times during the night, I would hear him moving around in the house, going from room to room, and he was checking that every door and window were secure. So he was, like, rattling on them. And I got used to that, but what I never got used to is that pretty much at every night at some point in the middle of the night, I would be startled awake to hear my dad screaming, "Mama, Mama." And he would run through the house crying, and I would pull the blankets up over my head, and I was frightened that he would come into my room before my mom could catch up with him. And when she did, she would lead him back to their bedroom, and I could hear him sobbing, and she would be comforting him. It wasn't something we ever spoke of in the daytime. And not that long ago, probably within the last 10 years, I finally asked my mom, who was he calling for? Was he calling for her, my mom, or was he calling for his mom? Turned out that as a young man, he worked in a copper mine, and he lived on the site, and they all stayed in wooden bunkhouses. And there was a fire one evening, and one of the men perished. And so he suffered with this nightmare every night, and he was calling for his own mom. As a result of that, I think he became agoraphobic, and so he lived in this self-imposed, restricted life, and that fear got passed on to me, and it really dictated my own life for many, many years. So in order to let go of the fear that had a hold on me, the first thing I realized that I had to do was to let go of controlling every aspect of my life, because control is actually just a masquerade for fear. And one of our biggest fears is that we won't fit in, that we're not good enough. So we try to please everyone, our family and our friends and our co-workers, so that we feel accepted. And then we conjure up this idea of what we should look like and act like and be like in order to get that outside approval. And that's where the fear comes in, is that we're not going to be able to fit this image that we've created in our mind. And trying to control all that, it just takes so much energy. And so for me, an example of releasing control would be even something like this radio show. I in particular, don't like to plan everything out, because then when something's so rigid and planned, it makes me feel like I need to live up to that, and I'd rather it be organic and I just speak. So letting go of control is really the first step.
Well, that's thank you for sharing your life story with us. That's really a very powerful story, and how fear can as to the extreme, take a hold of you, like in your father's case. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Wendy, do you have a question?
Yeah, well, I had never, ever thought of that, of fear being related to controlling or letting go of controlling helps the fear go away. That really puts a whole new perspective on the whole thing. So definitely try thinking about that more. Definitely more. So it's not that easy. It's not easy to let go of the control. How can you let go of it anyway? Is there some way that you can tell us about that?
Yeah, I have this saying that I keep all my doors and windows open. And that means that I have to detach from the outcome and allow the outcome to happen. So, for example, when I finished my training as a coach, I had this intention to go into business for myself. Then I got to work and I did more learning and I tried new business techniques, and I told myself, and we've talked about this before, that if there was something I was enjoying, I would keep doing that. And if there was something I didn't like, well, then obviously I wasn't going to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those are little clues. And when you are trying to control something, it means you've got yourself stuck in this rigid plan. And when you're stuck in this rigid plan, it doesn't allow for spontaneity to happen. And within spontaneity is this wonder and excitement. And if I would have just said, if I would have defined myself and sort of drawn a picture of exactly the way I wanted to be, I wouldn't have written the book that I wrote. I wouldn't have a blog. I wouldn't have allowed all this great stuff that I didn't know what it was, and I still don't know what's coming my way. So it's actually way more fun to just let go of the outcome and allow what's going to happen.
Yeah. That's great, because you're just free, and it's kind of an adventure. You don't really know.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Even
wow,
just when you say it, you can feel that there's this positive energy happening.
That's true. That's right. For sure.
Yeah.
Huh. Krista, go ahead.
Yeah, Heather, you say there's another F word that plays a role in this. Can you share that with us, too?
Yeah, so I've replaced fear with faith. And this was a challenge for me, and sometimes it still is. In fact, I just recently had a situation in my life where I became afraid for my daughter's health. It became very stressful, and I had to remind myself after a few days of, you know, just about jumping out of my skin, that I could give up trying to control something that was out of my control to a higher power. So when I say higher power, that's whatever your definition of that is. That could be religion or spirituality, and that can even be science if you are not a believer of God or whatever you want to call it, right? Because faith requires that you believe in a future that you can't see or imagine, okay? And the minute you can let go of that, it will release your emotional workload. And for me, it brings a sense of calm because that goes back to that controlling thing. There are certain things in our life we just can't control. And the more that we try to control them, it just creates this tension. And that just goes in health-wise, that just leads to a bad place.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, a lot of religions have that as one of their central tenets, that you have to let go of control in order to let faith come into your life. So this is a very interesting connection that you're making there between control, between fear and faith. To let go of fear, we have to embrace faith.
Yes, it's very freeing. Yes. The first time I did it, which was many years ago, and then I didn't put it into practice. So it is kind of a practice, and like I say, it's not always perfect for me when something really major comes along, like, and health is one of those things that definitely would fall under that category. It's very difficult. We want to make it better. And it didn't mean that I didn't care, and we still didn't do what we needed to do to make her better, but being stressed about it was not going to help the situation. And it wasn't going to change the outcome. All I could do was change how I was going to, the person I was going to bring to her in the situation every day.
Yeah, that reminds me of the saying, letting go and letting God or universe.
Yes.
Right. I heard that before.
Yeah. And that's why I mentioned science, because there's all kinds of things about science that we can't physically see, right? There's, you know, we don't see oxygen or hydrogen. There's lots of stuff we don't see. So even if you don't believe in God and you believe in science, it's still something you can't see that you have to have faith in. So again, if you relate that to somebody's health, at some point, you know, you're going to put your faith in medical professionals and the science part of it. If that's what's going to give you peace of mind, that's where you need to go with your faith.
Excellent. Yeah. So what would you say is your biggest takeaway about fear?
My biggest takeaway is that fear squashes my creativity. So I'm a really creative person. But bear in mind that creativity can be a catch-22. Because if you have a creative mind, you need to be careful that you're not using it to create fearful situations, which is what happens in the case of, say, going back to my dad and that environment. So I lived in an emotional environment that was full of fear and negativity. So when you're full of that, when you're using your creativity muscle, let's just call it a muscle, to create these negative scenarios all the time, there's no room for creativity to flourish in a positive, fun way. Your mind only has so much time and room for thoughts. And if they're monopolized by fear, then there's no room for anything else.
So I wonder how you would switch to creating something positive when you're creating negativity all the time.
Well, that's going to be in my exercise at the end of our little talk today. Boy, you're intuitive. Look at, see, you got creative and started to wonder. Right?
Right. Okay, yeah. So we'll get into that for sure.
Well, great prelude. You would have think that we planned that or something.
You would think, yes. You were going to surprise us, and I guess I...
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Krista, you have another question.
Yes. So, Heather, how have you turned your fear into an asset? Can you talk about that a little bit?
I can. I've turned it into an asset by putting on my big girl panties and going towards the fear. That means sometimes I have to do something that I'm really not ready to do. And so that means changing my perspective about fear. So if I change my perspective and say to myself, what if fear is there to help me grow? Because if you don't push through, you'll stay exactly where you are. So let me clarify. There's real fear. Like, for example, if there's a tsunami barreling towards you, you need to run as fast as you can the other way, right? So what I'm talking about is the illusion of fear. And that's really, those fears that are born in our head and nurtured in our mind, those are illusions, and there's no solid base, and they almost never become a reality. So instead, when and going into business for myself has brought up a lot of fears because I've had to do things that weren't in my wheelhouse, right? So that means when I get scared about something, I have to focus on the fact that it's going to help me grow and it's going to help me become this, you know, it's going to help me become this new version of myself, which is, you know, it's scary. Even in the positive, it can be scary, but it's something that is rewarding on the other side of things. And once you start doing it, it's practice. It gets easier and easier to just keep doing it. So just, you know, take a breath and go toward your fear. And sometimes they're going to be little baby steps, and sometimes you're going to take a deep breath and jump right in. You got to kind of feel your way towards it.
Yeah, a lot of times it seems like it's not even if once you actually do it, you're thinking, that wasn't so bad.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Most fears in your head, there's stats on it. It's huge. It's like and if you think back, think of something that you've been scared of in your mind, and it's usually something that you're going to do, like give a speech or something, and, oh, my God, you know, people are going to laugh at me, or I'm going to throw up. It never happens, right? In fact, if you were going to give a speech and you were really nervous about it, and I told you, if I sat with you and said, okay, I want you to throw up right now. If you said that was your biggest fear and I sat with you and said, okay, fine, I want you to throw up right now, you wouldn't be able to do it.
Right. That's good.
Yeah. I was with the fear of public speaking is probably one of the biggest fears that most people have.
Exactly.
We don't have a lot of practice with it. But it does get better the more often you do it. That's for
sure. Exactly.
So courage is what you need in order to to overcome those fears.
Exactly.
So maybe we could do that exercise. Maybe we can get into that right now. We have maybe a little over 10 minutes.
Yeah. So I call this how to take the fear out of fear.
Okay.
And how you do that, and I've touched on this before, is curiosity. And how you use your curiosity to take the fear out of fear is that as soon as you feel afraid, you get curious about it. And I'm going to give you an example. So I get anxious when it comes time to travel somewhere new, somewhere I've never been before. And that if I relate it back to my childhood, I wasn't allowed to go anywhere, right? I had to stay in the yard, in the house, in the school. I was very limited to where I had to go. So to go somewhere new can become really stressful for me. It used to be. It used to be way more stressful than it is now. And the reason that is because my mind creates a million different what-if scenarios, and they're always gruesome. Like, what if the plane crashes? What if my luggage gets lost? And you know we all play that game in our mind. You're going to go give a speech in front of 100 people. What if I throw up? What if I pass out? What if they laugh at me? So we create all these negative what ifs. All you have to do is switch it up and ask yourself positive what ifs. What if this is the best trip I ever experienced? What if I meet someone super interesting? And when you start to focus on great things that are possible, and if you can take it another step, so for example, here's a great example. I'm going to Australia in October, and it's a long flight, and I've already done some what-ifing about, you know, what if I get antsy on the flight, what, you know, all kinds of things. I mean, you'd laugh at me if you knew some of the what-ifs that I have in my mind. So now I'm focusing on what if this is the best experience I've ever had, all of that stuff, and then go so far as to start researching what it is I'm going to do. So I'm starting to look at all the fun stuff there is to do in Australia and all the great things that are going to happen. And I focus on all that positive stuff for myself so that I create a positive emotional environment for myself, so when I get on the plane, I'm going to be so excited that fear, there's no room for fear. So it's very simple. Just change your what if bad to what if good.
Yeah, I'm just, as you're saying that, I'm thinking of my daughter who's a musician. She plays viola up in New York, and she's living on her own playing viola, and she has so many negative type of things, like what if my spring breaks during an audition, or what if all this thing. So if I tell her something about that and just switch everything to the positive, that I think that's really going to help her when she has things like that coming up, auditions or something. So thank
you. Yeah, and you could even start. It would help for her to write that down. Like, write all your negatives down. Now take that same list and start flipping it over to the positive stuff. Now throw away that negative list. You don't want to look at that again.
Yeah.
And read the positive list every morning. Like, if you've got a little, I have a ritual of meditation. I'm sure I've mentioned this before. And I have a ritual of some positive affirmations for myself that I just read them. I don't say them out loud. I don't go as far as standing in front of a mirror, but some people do, and you certainly can. But it makes a difference. Our minds are little computers that we program.
You could even put the negative what ifs on the left side of a piece of paper, and then the positive ones on the right, and then rip off the left side and throw that away, and you'll still have the positives on the right that you can stare at every day or something.
It's a great ritual too, to physically go, I don't need you. I don't need this negative stuff to fill my head.
Yeah. That's really great. Cool.
Yeah.
Gosh, did we get off? Just got into the exercise. Is there any more? Is there like an ending part of it? Just kind of post all of those positive what ifs somewhere where you can see it every day, or write it in a journal every day or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's not unlike a gratitude journal, which would be another step towards, having positive in your life. That's another That's another take on it, right? Because if every day you're going, poor me, I don't have enough of, I don't have the nice car, I don't have enough whatever. A gratitude journal is the same basic exercise, right? Where every day you're saying, this is what I'm grateful for. So again, you're focusing on positives instead of negative.
Yeah.
But that can, some people have a challenge with that because they, it can be a challenge. And again, it's something you work on, right? But gratitude journals can be a challenge for people, first of all, if you don't like to actually write every day. And second of all, you have to define what is the biggest issue in your life. For me, it was fear. So just for me, I am grateful and I do work on that. But for me, fear was out-muscling the gratitude or what I didn't have or did have. Fear was stopping me from even getting to there. When fear is really big, like I've experienced where I've had anxiety really, really bad, it overtakes every part of your life and overshadows everything. And some people, there's lots of people that have it far worse than I had it, and I've learned to control it, is basically. And I said to let go of control, but you have to break it down. So by letting go of control is ironically how I control it, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it does. Very much so. So we were wondering if you would be able to share with our listeners how they could get in touch with you, what's the best way to get a hold of you, or if there are any programs you have coming up in the future. We'd love to hear about anything.
The best way to get a hold of me is from my email address. Just send me an email, heather.goosebumps@gmail.com. I do have a website, Heather Reader Life Coach. I'm on Facebook, Heather Reader Life Coach, where I do a lot of mini blogging on there. Like, and every day I'm, I like to put some kind of positive quotes, and then quite often I add my little take on it. So those are the top three ways to get a hold of me. I always have some kind of a program that I offer. I've got a weight loss program, although I would warn you that it is not a diet plan. Because to just cut it short, I'm kind of anti-diet because it's going to be other things like fear and control and that kind of stuff that we address, so that it's more, I want you to be more than just skinny, for lack of a better word. I want you to have this whole great, bountiful life, and it's more than just taking some pounds off. So my weight loss program is way more than a weight loss program. So I have that program, and I have a From Crisis to Confidence program, and I just also have one-on-one coaching.
And so that basically, if they go to your website or Facebook, they can find out about all of those different things. Correct?
Yes, and send me an email, or send me an email, and we can connect and even talk over the phone, which would be fantastic.
Cool. And it's heather.goosebumps.com, right?
Or heather.goosebumps@gmail.
At gmail.
Gmail.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my direct email address. Yeah.
Great. Okay, so we'll put all of this on our Facebook page so that our listeners can take a look and get to you that way as well.
Thank you.
Great. And Krista.
So, Heather, thank you so much for being our guest once again today. As always, we enjoyed our conversation with you, and we look forward to having you back with us again sometime soon.
Well, thank you. I'm so honored that you ladies have invited me back again, and I would love to come back again in the future. You make me get curious and creative about new topics to talk about that, and I love the challenge.
That's
excellent.
That's great. Thank you, Heather. We appreciate your comments. And
you're
we
welcome.
Look forward to having you back on another show in the future.
Thanks. Have a great day.
You
thank
too.
You.
Thank you. And thank you, our audience, for tuning in again today to Sky's the Limit Radio. We appreciate you for listening and following us, and hope you enjoyed our show as much as we have. As always, the best way to get more information about upcoming shows is to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/SkyStoLimitRadio. Please feel free to share your thoughts, comments, and feedback on our Facebook page. We love to hear from you. Or you can visit us at our website at www.SkyStoLimitRadio.com to stay up to date on all the good stuff we have coming up for you. To listen to recordings of past shows you may have missed, go to www.blogtalkradio.com/SkyStoLimit. You never know, you might discover the one episode that could make a difference in your life. Until next time, everyone, and remember, the sky's the limit to what you can do. Have a great week, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye, Heather. Thank you.
Bye, ladies.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.